Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The U.S. House is set to vote on Wednesday on a compromise bill to raise the debt limit in exchange for certain spending caps. But the measure has drawn criticism from hardline conservative wing of the Republican Party. NPR's Lexi Schapitl has more.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has called the current bill the most conservative debt limit deal in history. But that hasn't quelled opposition from some hardline conservatives, like Dan Bishop of North Carolina, who say the bill doesn't do enough to cut spending.
And everybody who stands up and says that this bill has meaningful savings or that heads in a meaningfully new direction is forfeiting his or her own credibility.
Some progressive Democrats also oppose the bill over its changes to permitting rules and expanded work requirements for food stamps. If this bill passes, it will likely be thanks to a bipartisan coalition of members towards the middle. Lexi Schapitl, NPR News, the Capitol.
The White House is once again making it clear that the United States does not support attacks inside of Russia. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, the clarification follows reports that Ukraine has launched several drones to attack Moscow.
The drone struck residential buildings in Moscow, causing damage but no injuries. This follows another drone incident earlier this month that Russia called an assassination attempt on Russian President Vladimir Putin. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about the latest attack.
We're going to gather information see exactly what happened. So just want to be very clear about that. But look, we do not support attacks inside of Russia. That's it. Period. I mean, I cannot be any more clear than what I just stated. We do not support attacks inside of Russia.
The U.S. and its allies are supplying lethal assistance to Ukraine as it defends itself within its own borders against Russian aggression. Tamara Keith, NPR News, The White House.
North Korea has tried, but failed, to launch a spy satellite. From Seoul, NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports that Wednesday's incident triggered alarms that were later retracted in South Korea and in Japan.
North Korea says the second stage of the vehicle's rocket misfired, causing it to fall into the Yellow Sea. It added it would try launching another one soon. South Korea's military says it has salvaged parts of the vehicle from the sea. The U.S., South Korea, and Japan all condemned the launch, noting that it violates U.N. Security Council resolutions. But the council is divided, and Russia and China are likely to veto any attempts to sanction Pyongyang. North Korea announced it would begin developing spy satellite technology more than 2 years ago. It says the satellites are necessary to monitor what it sees as hostile military moves by the U.S. and South Korea. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
U.S. futures are flat in after-hours trading on Wall Street following Tuesday's mixed close. You're listening to NPR News. A group of workers at Amazon's Seattle headquarters is threatening a lunchtime walkout on Wednesday. At issue is the company's return-to-office mandate and recent layoffs. Nearly 2,000 employees around the world have pledged their participation in the protest. Amazon has cut 27,000 jobs since November. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed a bill allowing recreational marijuana use Tuesday, alongside a predecessor who first proposed it. Brian Baxt of Minnesota Public Radio has the story.
Jesse Ventura returned to the state capitol to celebrate enactment of the bill permitting marijuana use by adults 21 and older. The flamboyant former governor pushed for decriminalization in the late 1990s, but got nowhere.
It's very wonderful to see a dream of yours over 20 years ago finally happen today, and I'm still alive to see it.
Governor Walz and fellow Democrats in the legislature made it a priority this year. It'll be a few more months before people in Minnesota can legally grow their own. And retail shops won't open until a licensing system and an adequate supply are in place, perhaps a year or more from now. For NPR News, I'm Brian Baxton, St. Paul.
Elizabeth Holmes has begun serving her 11-year prison sentence at a women's federal lockup in Texas. Holmes is the founder of the now-defunct blood-testing startup Theranos. She was convicted of defrauding investors who contributed hundreds of millions of dollars for the company. Theranos folded in 2018. I'm Shea Stevens. This is NPR News.